Right, well, let's go to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. This passage of Scripture gives us the background information that leads up to the well-known account of Daniel in the lion's den. And I trust that you realize that the way this world is going, the Christian is headed for the mouth of the lion if the Lord tarries, figuratively if not literally. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. You didn't know Daniel was the first president, did you? You thought it was George Washington or somebody like that. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and that the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. That's quite a testimony. You know, David writes in the Psalms, "Cleanse me from secret faults." You couldn't find Daniel's fault. He was without fault, according to that verse. The reason why was because he was faithful. Faithfulness is a quality that's required in stewards. Verse 5, "Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents..." You want to remember that whenever they talk about a majority, they're lying. It's not a majority. It wasn't all the presidents. Daniel wasn't in on this scheme. He was one of the first. "All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains..." Well, there's some political pressure. "...have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." And I think the key to that verse of Scripture right there is in those last four words, "as he did aforetime." Let's go to the Lord and ask His blessing on the message. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank You for His faithfulness. Even when we're not faithful, yet He abideth faithful, and He cannot deny Himself. We thank You, Lord, that Your Word is true, and it's every one of Thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Thy Word is true from the beginning to the end. Help us, O Lord, to be on the right side, the side of believing Your Word and obeying Your Word, not on the side that criticizes it and disobeys it. Help us, O Lord, not to draw nigh to You with our mouths and yet our hearts be far from You. Help us, Lord, not to be hypocrites, but help us, O Lord, to truly worship You in spirit and in truth. I pray, dear Lord, that You bless the Word of God that's preached today. Minister to our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God. Open our eyes to some things that we need to be aware of and awakened to. And help us, O God, by the grace of God, to repent and do the first works so that Jesus Christ might be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' glorious name. Amen. Amen. Now, like I said here, this is the background story, the information that leads up to the well-known account of Daniel in the lion's den. And like I said before, Christians are headed for the mouth of the lion, whether figuratively or literally or both. Things are going to get bad. Things are going to get bad. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand those things. Psalm 22, verse 13 and 21, David cries and he prays. And it, of course, Psalm 22 is the crucifixion psalm, so it's the Lord Jesus Christ praying this while He's on the cross of Calvary. He says in Psalm 22, verse 13 and verse 21, "They gaped upon Me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. Of course, this is what's going on in the spiritual realm. Jesus Christ is not only being crucified and put to death by Romans, but he is being attacked spiritually while he is on the cross by the demons and powers of hell. And he says, save me from the lion's mouth. He said, they gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. Now, Christ prayed this while he was on the cross. And let me remind you that the Christian is also upon the cross. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So as a Christian, I'm on that cross, so I can expect to have trouble from lions. 2 Timothy 4, verse 17, the Apostle Paul wrote, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now, in Paul's day, they were feeding people to lions, literally. Whether or not he was saved in that sense, or whether it was in the spiritual sense, saved from the mouth of the lion, saved from the devil, it doesn't much matter, because our adversary today is as a roaring lion. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Wicked rulers are also like lions. Proverbs 28:15 says, as a roaring lion and a ranging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. Suffice it to say, one way or another, but more than likely in every way, we ourselves are headed for the lion's den, just like Daniel was. Sooner or later, probably sooner rather than later. And knowing that, understanding how Daniel conducted himself before he got to the den of lions should be of extreme interest to us today. It's going to be of help to us. The best preparation for tomorrow is to be doing what you ought to do today, someone once said. I believe it was Bob Jones Sr. He may have gotten it from somewhere else. The best preparation for tomorrow is to be doing what you should be doing today. Daniel didn't wait till the decree was signed before he started praying. He prayed, the Bible says, as he did aforetime. And the first point I want to bring to your attention is that Daniel wasn't a rebel at heart. Daniel wasn't a rebel at heart. He didn't just go start praying when they passed the law forbidding him to pray. Daniel was a law-abiding man. Of all of the ridiculous laws of men, even though they were perhaps a nuisance, and many of them are, because they didn't cross Scripture, Daniel followed them. They couldn't get Daniel on any law that he had broken except they find something concerning his God. Now, the governments passed some stupid laws, some ridiculous laws. Many of them are simply a nuisance. You can look up on a website, you can find books full of funny, goofy laws that have been passed and are placed upon citizens and enforced. I mean, just ridiculous things. In Chico, California, they've outlawed nuclear weapons. Anyone caught detonating a nuclear weapon within the city limits of Chico, California, they're really serious about this, will be fined $500. That's a true law. That's an actual law on the books. That's what our tax dollars are going to fund, a bunch of numbskulls writing laws that have nothing to do with anything. Whoever put that in the books is not in touch with reality, amen? And that's not just because they're in California. This is a nationwide thing. You know, there are laws in Louisiana. There is a law against stealing alligators. I wouldn't think they'd have to put that on the books. Many laws are passed, not for the protection of our well-being or the well-being of good citizens, but as a result of politicians lining their own pockets and having too much time and power on their hands. It's an effort by the government to try to steal liberty and ingratiate themselves and aggrandize themselves and put themselves into positions of authority in matters which they have absolutely no business. A man can go to jail for killing a rat in his garden. And yet nobody blinks an eye when millions of babies are slaughtered. Did you know you could spend time in prison, federal prison, for destroying the egg of an eagle? And yet nobody bats an eye with abortions going on like they do. Things are upside down, friend. The government's crooked. That's a given. The politicians are crooked and corrupt. That's a given. But you know what? Daniel, you didn't find Daniel breaking any laws. Even though they were ridiculous, even though they were a nuisance, Daniel kept the speed limit. Daniel wore his seatbelt. Daniel, hey brother, when the law said turn your lights out at 9 o'clock at night, Daniel turned them out. He didn't go against any of those laws. He was a law-abiding citizen. He wasn't a rebel at heart. He wasn't going out, oh, that's just a stupid law. Who needs to obey that? We all have stupid laws enforced upon us. But we are bound by Scripture and by conscience to obey those laws. Daniel wasn't a rebel at heart. Matthew 17, verse 24 through 27. When they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth your master pay tribute? He saith, yes. I like that. Because Peter doesn't know. Because he goes and he asks, right after that, he goes and he asks the Lord. But he's trying to save face and he goes, yeah. And then he leaves. Yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. That's the truth. The children are free. I'm not bound by the laws of man. If I don't want to wear my seatbelt, I don't have to. But the verse goes on. And he says, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. You mean Christ was concerned about offending somebody? The government? Caesar? Yeah. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. That's why I wear my seatbelt. That's why I try not to go too much over the speed limit. And some of those are ridiculous laws. And yet we do them so that we don't offend them. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take. And boy, I wish I could find that thing. That take. And look what he says. He says, and give unto them for me and thee. You know why you submit to the ordinances of man? For you do it for the Lord's sake. That do for me. Give it unto them for me and thee. We are to submit to their ordinances for the Lord's sake. 1 Peter 2, verse 13 through 17. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. You say, well, we have an ordinance in this town. You can't ride a bicycle on this road. What's any different from this road than the other road? None. Well, why do you have this law? To make money. Well, then I'm going to ride my bicycle on this road. Well, then you're going to go to jail or you're going to be fined. You see, as a Christian, I'm not to look at how ridiculous or what a nuisance those laws are. I'm to obey those ordinances for the Lord's sake. If they don't want you skateboarding in that area, don't go skateboard where you can skateboard. Amen. If they don't want you driving your car on a beach, don't drive your car on the beach. It has nothing to do with the book. And the laws that didn't contradict Scripture, Daniel kept every one of those things. And you and I, we are bound by conscience and by serving Christ because of a good testimony to obey the laws and the ordinances of the land, no matter how ridiculous they are. And there's plenty of those. 1 Peter 2:13 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. This was written when Nero was Caesar. And Nero would light his garden at night with Christians on fire. And the book tells you, honor the king. You're supposed to submit to those ordinances, to the king as supreme, to governors, to them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. And it's the will of God that by well-doing you may put to silence those ignorant and foolish men. Daniel was that kind of a man. Daniel was the kind of a man that although the laws may have been strange and their culture may have been strange, I mean, he was a Hebrew. He was a Jew. And he was in a foreign land in Persia, brother. And they had some strange customs and some strange laws and ordinances. And as long as they didn't contradict the book, Daniel was a law-abiding citizen. He wasn't a rebel at heart. And neither should we be. Rebellion is as witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. We're supposed to be blameless concerning the laws of the land as long as they don't contradict the laws of God's word. Daniel was a law-abiding man. He wasn't a troublemaker. He wasn't a rabble-rouser. You know what this is right here? We went preaching on the street, and we had a great time. And then some policemen, you don't have to zoom on, it's just some official paperwork. It's not a big deal. But then some policemen came by, and they're in authority. And praise God for policemen and for the police force. We pray for them. And they came by and said, you know, you need a permit to be doing this. And I said, no, I wasn't aware of that. Where can I get the permit? And he said, you go such and such and such, you go there and there. So, okay, I went there. And I applied for the permit to preach on the street, to hold up signs, to pass out gospel tracts. We're not taking money. We're not taking donations. We refuse any of that stuff. We just simply want to be out there and be a public witness for Christ on the street as families in the church. And so I went to this office that he sent me to. And after much labor and money and paperwork and background checks and everything, you know what they gave me? They gave me this right here is an official permit to go door to door. And I said, well, thanks a lot. We do that too. Didn't know I needed a permit for that. But now that we have one, bless God, we're official, amen. You can't kick me off your doorstep. I got a reason to be here. But I said, this isn't what we came for. We came for a permit to be on the street. And they said, there is no permit for what you want to do. And so I said, okay, well, let's go back out on the street. Because we had stopped. I didn't get out there and say, I have a right to be out here. Policeman said, you need a permit. Okay, let's go get the permit. So when they said, there is no permit for what you want to do, I said, okay, we're going. I called the sheriff. I said, this is what I want to do. He says, as long as you aren't obstructing traffic or interfering with traffic or posing a safety hazard, you can do whatever you want to do. There is no permit for that. I mean, there is no law yet in Louisiana for preaching on the street. I said, okay, thank you very much. We went out. We just didn't pass out the tracts. We stayed on the side of the road, out of the road, holding up scripture signs and preaching at them. We didn't pass out the tracts. One day I run into a gentleman, and he was a police captain. And I said, this is my problem. I'm being told by the police that I need a permit for this. And then when I go to get the permit, they tell me there is no permit. He says, give me a call Monday morning. I'll try to sort this thing out for you. I called him up. He said, all right, tell me what you're doing. I told him. He says, all right, give me a couple hours and I'll get back with you. He went and he investigated himself as a captain of the police. And he went and found out. He called me up. He said, Brother Adam, he says, there is no permit for what you're doing. And there's nothing wrong with what you're doing. If any policeman gives you any kind of hassle for what you're doing, you give them here's my personal cell phone number and here's my business card. You direct them toward me. And I said, thank you. And you know what? We've been out there and we go the extra mile. We get on these fluorescent vests. We blow a whistle when the light turns green, or we try to. And we try to get out of the street and we try not to be a nuisance. Amen. We try to do things decently and in order, but we want to preach the gospel in public. If nobody else wants to do it, we want to do it. If it's so unpopular that the state of Louisiana does not have a permit for it, and believe me, if it was popular, they'd have a permit for it. We're going to do it, amen. But we're going to do it lawfully. I don't want to go to jail. I'll go there as a visitor. But I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to see you get arrested. I want to do what's right, amen. I want to be like Daniel. I'm not a rebel at heart. I want to serve God with a good conscience toward God and toward man. So praise God, we got a permit to go door to door. Anybody scared of going door to door? You got the law behind you now. Come on out. You know what that policeman told me? He says, every time I pass you guys and see you all out there, he says, I bow my head and I thank God for Christians who are willing to be out there doing that. Most of the response we got out there is positive, not negative. It's not like you're downtown New Orleans on Bourbon Street and people throwing beers at you and cursing you out for messing up their parade. No, these people out here, they appreciate somebody standing for righteousness, being a public testimony for Christ. And you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that by the grace of God. Daniel wasn't a rebel. He was a man of God. We want to do things decently and in order. I don't want to go to jail for my own rebellion and foolishness. And I don't want to send you to jail for my own rebellion and foolishness. I'm responsible. I'm accountable. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. You know, when that cop told us we couldn't be out there, we stopped until we got news that we could be out there. And you know what? Every week I would see these folks out there with little buckets asking for money, taking money for whatever, programs for drug abusers or whatever. And I'm not against that stuff. But I'd see those people out there accepting money and they were in the middle of traffic when the light was green and nobody told them a thing. I think sometimes they have selective enforcement. Matthew 22, verse 21. They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. I intend to do that by the grace of God. Romans 13, 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Daniel did that under Nebuchadnezzar, one of the greatest types of Antichrist in the Scripture, who was putting people in furnaces for not bowing down to an image. And Daniel submitted to Nebuchadnezzar. I think we can do as well. Titus 3:1 says, put them in mind. This is telling me to put you in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Now folks, the government is not our enemy. Now, before you jump the gun and give me all the reasons why it is, let me back that up with this scripture. For we wrestle, Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The problem is the spiritual wickedness behind the scenes and the local governments on the scenes. The gap between those two is very quickly closing. And what's happening is the government, the local governments, and the federal governments are getting to a place where they are doing the will of those spiritual principalities and powers without blinking an eye because of their lust for money and power and greed and the lust of worldly things. So the problem is what happens when the local and federal authorities, when there is no difference between them and the principalities and powers in high places, spiritual wickedness in high places? Let me tell you about that. Because Daniel submitted to these ordinances for the Lord's sake, and then one day some crackpot politicians came up with a plan to destroy Daniel. And they said, okay, we'll pass a law that can't be altered, that messes with prayer. And we'll see what he does then. You know what? They knew Daniel was going to pray. Daniel was the kind of man, he was what he was by the grace of God. He was consistent. They knew Daniel wouldn't stop just because some law was passed. And you know what? They didn't sign that law just so some of Daniel's friends and compatriots would start praying. Because they knew once that law was passed, nobody but Daniel was going to break that law. Being in a position of power didn't protect Daniel from crooked politicians. Sometimes Christians get their minds mixed up and they get thinking, well, if we just lobby enough, if we just vote, and if we just get involved with politics, that'll somehow give us protection in the evil day when it comes. No, it won't. It didn't protect Daniel, and he was a president. So obviously that's not the key. The enemies of God are continually scheming against God's people. You say you believe in conspiracy theories? Amen, I do. This was a conspiracy against Daniel. You don't think the devil went to sleep or went on vacation, do you? Herod stretched forth his hands to vex the church in Acts chapter 12. Do you think the devil said, well, that's enough. That's enough. Give him some breathing room. No, there is right now a concerted effort to shut every one of your mouths, to keep you from doing what's right. You doubt what I'm saying? Why do you think they kick prayer in the Bible out of school? For this very reason. The government's not our enemy, but it's quickly getting to the place where there is little difference between the government and the principalities in power and spiritual wickedness in high places, because they are more and more controlled by money, power, and lust. And they become increasingly compliant in persecuting the righteous. So what do? We throw up our hands in disgust or in fear and comply? No. We just recognize it for what it is. And we keep on doing what we're supposed to be doing, whether it's legal or not. Our liberties are being constantly threatened. We live in perilous times, folks. You folks know this more than any. I mean, you know what happened a couple months back? Don't let your memory fail you. They tried to bring up and say, you know, is that Second Amendment, is that really constitutional? You remember that? It got shot down. Don't think they quit. What about this recent thing? Oh, this lady's babysitting her neighbor's kids. Yeah. We got to put a permit. You got to get a license for that. You got to get government approval for that. You know what's happening? The walls are closing in. They're coming after you is what they're doing. They're constantly at work trying to entrap us and destroy our liberties that we enjoy in this nation. 2 Timothy 3:12 through 14 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That's exactly what Daniel did. When they passed a law concerning his God, he just kept on continuing in prayer. When they make the Bible illegal to read, you better continue. When they make preaching the gospel illegal, you better continue. Amen. When they make prayer illegal, Christian, you better continue. You can't afford to have God as your enemy. You can't afford to conform to this world. And let me tell you something. They're after you, and they're after your kids, and they're after your grandkids. It's coming. Say, what do I do? You know what you do? You do what Daniel did. He gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Acts 5, verse 28 and 29 says, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Where we're able to obey the laws of the land, the statutes, the ordinances, and they're not contrary to Scripture, obey them. But when they pass the laws, and it's coming, when they pass the laws that make you sin against your God, you rebel. You rebel like Daniel did. You rebel like the apostles did. And you count the cost and you be willing to pay it. You be willing to pay it. Say, how in the world am I going to be willing to pay it? I'll tell you how you'll be willing to pay it. As he did aforetime. Now the problem is, if you haven't been doing this aforetime, when the law gets passed, you're not going to be able to stand. Daniel didn't start praying after the law was passed. He'd been praying the whole time. He just continued in what he'd been doing. You know why I want to get into jails and preach? Because I suspect one day it's going to be impossible to do so. You know why I want to go door to door, even though everybody's quitting it left and right, except for the Mormons and JWs? It must work. You know why I want to go door to door? Because sooner or later they're going to try to say it's illegal. You know why I want to witness? You want to know why I want to read my Bible, teach my kids, have church services? You know why we do these things? Because one day, somebody's going to come and say, you can't do this anymore. And I want to be able to stand then as I'm standing now. If you're not standing now on those things, you won't stand then. There are some things I want to be doing now before it becomes against the law. Because after it becomes against the law, I plan on continuing to do them. If nobody follows me or if everybody follows me, I continue one day to break the law if it goes against God and His Word. First of all, what about reading your Bible? What about reading your Bible, Christian? For ages, men have sought to do away with the Word of God. At times in history, it was illegal to possess a copy of the Scripture in your own language. It was illegal to even say the Lord's Prayer in your own language. That stuff has been in history. And the greatest lesson that men learn from history is that men never learn from history. And if you don't learn the lessons of history, you're doomed to repeat them. Somebody is after making the Bible illegal. There are some countries where this is already accomplished. In this country, praise God, it hadn't happened yet. But don't doubt that it's coming. With all the laws against discrimination and hate laws and all this stuff about tolerance, you know this book is the most hateful, intolerant book when it comes to sin and perversion that ever hit the skids. And they're going to have to make this book illegal if they want to enforce their rotten, sinful laws. One day, you may get a knock at your door and say, all right, give up all the Bibles. I mean, they've already succeeded in kicking it out of the schools. What makes you think they're content to stay with that? One day it will be illegal to have the Bible in your language, a King James Bible. So it's happened in the past, it will happen in the future. You know what? I don't want to wait till they outlaw the Bible before I start reading it. I don't want to wait till there's a law passed forbidding me to read this book, love this book, preach this book, to begin. I want to be able to conduct myself as I did aforetime. You know, they could easily give a basic test to see whether or not you've been reading that Bible. I mean, they just give you a test. Who killed Abel? Who killed Goliath? What three languages did Pilate write a sign on Jesus' cross in? You know, some of y'all having trouble with those. And you think, boy, if they ever pass a law, bless God, you'll take my Bible out of my cold, dead fingers. Don't count on it. If you don't love this book now, if you don't read this book now, if you don't live this book now, don't think you'll be able to stand in an evil day. I could give you a test this morning and make your head spin. Number two, prayer. Like in Daniel's time, we see prayer under attack. Prayer has been taken out of the schools. They try to take prayer away from football games, you know, the whole night. Just some little atheist gets his head turned around backwards and feels a little persecution complex, and everybody that believes in God has to kowtow and bow down to his wishes. Aren't you going to feel a little foolish when it comes time to stand for prayer and not be able to pray anything better than "Now I lay me down to sleep"? Folks, if you hadn't been praying as you did before, you're not going to be able to pray in the evil day. Old Elijah, he gets up after the contest with the prophets of Baal, and he prays a simple, plain prayer, not very many words, and rain falls. The heavens open and rain falls after 3.5 years of a drought. But you know what? Behind that simple, modest prayer is 3.5 years of effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Elijah would have never been able to open the windows of heaven and call for rain if he hadn't, for 3.5 years, been on his knees continually, constantly in prayer. Number three, what about witnessing? Do you witness now? What if they pass a law against it? Are you going to be up in arms and say, how dare they infringe upon my rights? I got my rights. And go start knocking on doors. Listen, why don't you knock on doors now? Why don't you preach on the street now? Why don't you go to the jails and the nursing homes now? Why don't you go door to door and have personal work and witness to people now on the job? Why wait till they pass a law and make it illegal? Do it now! You know what, David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, he had no power to resist that temptation because he wasn't where he was supposed to be. 2 Samuel 11 verse 1 says, it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. David tarried at Jerusalem. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. He let others go do the work for him. Sound familiar? He said, Brother Adam, I can't make a Saturday morning visitation. Don't worry about me. I'm not the one that's going to judge you. It's this book that judges you. You praying for us when we go? Are you going some other time? Are you a witness? You say, well, I'm a silent witness. I live before men. Well, you better get to the point where you are a bold, verbal witness for Christ, because one day that's going to be made illegal. And all your lifestyle is going to be for naught. Mark my words. I want to go to the jail ministry now before they make it impossible. I want to go to the nursing homes now before they make it impossible. I want to go street preaching and door-to-door visitation now before they make it impossible. I want to have church services and preach and hear the Word of God and gather with other believers now, because one day it will be illegal. Number four, moving right along. What about having children? You know, in some countries it's illegal for you to have more than one kid. So maybe that's not God's will. I'm not going to tell you what God's will is for your life, but you know what? He says the reason why you get married is to have kids. So, well, I'm not financially... My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I mean, I got an answer for every one of your arguments. What you need to do is you need to find out what God wants you to do and do it. And stop living so selfishly. If God doesn't want you to have kids, He'll shut the womb. Oh, man, is it quiet in here. I must have stepped on a toe or two. I'm sorry, I meant to step on your neck. One day it's going to be illegal for you to have more than one kid, if at all. You going to wait till it's illegal? What about raising your kids? You going to wait till the government says they have to go to a public school before you say, no, I'm taking them out? What about educating your kids? You're supposed to be involved in that right now, so when the evil day comes, you can continue to do what you're doing. It should have been our priority all along, but soon it'll be illegal. Look at Germany. You know it's illegal to homeschool in Germany? And in several other European countries? You think we're going to be exempt? Do you know Obama has already said he wants the school year to be year-round? No summer vacation. No break. No let-up. Longer days every day. All year long. You know what? Your kids have always been your responsibility. They don't just become your responsibility when the government wants to step in and enforce some laws that are contrary to the Word of God. They're your responsibility right now. If you don't take your responsibility as a parent right now, you won't be able to stand in the evil day. Ephesians 6:13 says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. If you haven't done all, you're not going to stand. Jeremiah 12 verse 5 says, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they have wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? You think it's bad now? You hadn't seen nothing yet. You know what Daniel did? before he ever got to the lion's den. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Some of you are dropping the ball, and it's going to cost you in the end. It's going to cost you. Number 5, what about church attendance and giving? I don't preach on these subjects much, you know, because there's a whole lot more to preach on. But what about those? You going to wait till it's illegal to go to church to go? You going to wait till we have to meet underground, you know, like they say in, they call them underground churches, meeting in the woods under fear of persecution before you become faithful? Are you going to do what you can now with the liberties that we have to support the work and ministry of God in this local church? Or are you going to wait till some nut passes a law that makes it illegal? I'm going to do it now so that I will be able to do it then. I have no intention of quitting. I'll go to jail for it. But the only way I'll be able to take the lion's den is if I do it now, today. I don't preach at you to come to church just so my ego can be stroked. I'm coming regardless. And I'm not coming just because I'm pastor or in some position of authority. I'm coming because I need it. And my kids need it. And your kids need it. And you need it just as bad. 2 Samuel 24:24, and the king said to Araunah, "Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing." So David brought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Our problem is we've been serving God out of convenience for way too long. And it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us in the end if we don't pay the price ahead of time. What about separation from the world? You know what the world wants? It wants to just envelop you and your family and just suck you right in. It wants you to be part of this big one world global community. We are the world. One day it's going to be a law. You say, well, I won't never go along with it. I'll fight them to the bitter end. Amen. No, you won't, rebel. No, you won't. Not if you're conformed to the world right now. You won't. The Bible says, be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Christians who live like the world now will not be able to help but live with the world when the laws are passed. And they're going to get passed. You mark her down. One world global community. The president talks about things binding us together. Well, I read in Matthew 13 that those tares are bound together to be burned. I don't want to be bound together with this world. I want to get out of here. I want to be loose, amen, so when the rapture happens, I don't have to take a bunch of garbage on the way. Can you imagine some Christian that's half in the world and half out, and the trumpet sounds and the Lord says, come up hither, and they got some kind of garbage dangling on their foot and they're trying to get off the ground, you know, and get themselves unentangled from all that slop that they're in? Hey man, I want to be so free from this world's clutches that when the Lord says, come, I'm there before he finishes up hither. Amen. I don't intend to be a global citizen then, so I certainly shouldn't act like one now. And last of all, salvation. It's not going to get easier tomorrow. It's not going to be easier when they make it illegal. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." He said, well, I'll get saved later. You might not have the time later. Things are going to get bad, friend. Everybody's saying it now, not just the preachers. Everybody's saying it. You're not going to have the luxury to decide, okay, I'll get saved later. It's today. It's today. Because if you don't do it today, It's not going to get any easier tomorrow. And it's not going to get any easier when the law and the government is against you. Right now you have liberty and you can come and you can trust Christ and you don't have to worry about putting a machine gun to your head and saying, deny Christ, reject Christ, go along with Mother Church. You don't have to worry about that in this country right now. But there are countries in this world where that is exactly what's going on. Don't think you'll be exempt. Salvation is not something that you put off. It's something you do today. You know what? I don't care what laws the government passes. I got some things that I'm able to do that no law can hold me back from doing. Galatians 5:22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." I'm going to practice being filled with the Spirit today, rather than trying to wait and catch up with it later. You know what we better do? We better purpose in our hearts by obedience today that we hope, what we hope to be able to stand for tomorrow. You want to stand tomorrow? You want to be able to go to that den of lions with confidence that God is going to rescue you? Then you better do what you better start stacking up some aforetimes. You better start racking up some aforetimes. You know what the aforetime is? That's right now. What are you doing? Ecclesiastes 12:1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Folks, the evil days are here. The years are drawing nigh. It's time to get serious about serving God. Because your life may cost you your life. And if you're not willing to live for Christ, don't deceive yourself into thinking you'll be able to die for Him. We cannot expect to hope for deliverance from the lion's den for something we aren't faithful in today. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know what? By the grace of God, on record, for the whole world to see, I intend on keeping my Bible and keeping prayer and keeping witnessing and keeping going to church. I intend to do that by the grace of God till they lay me in a grave. And the reason why I can say with assurance that I will is because I've got a track record of 4 times. Where are you at? So, Brother Adam, I've just been kind of messing around the edges, just kind of playing around with this thing. All right, well, today, repent and do the first works. And get right with God. And help. Help me, friends, brethren, sisters. Help us. It's going to be a whole lot easier to stand when a whole bunch of people aren't falling by the wayside. It's going to be difficult to stand when brother and sister that you thought you could count on give up. Don't give up. Get in. This is the most exciting time in the world to live in all of history. As a Christian, you are in the last hour of the church age. If you go to work in His field this hour, He will pay you as though you've been in the field all day long. You can get a full day's wages just for a few moments of work. It's not time to be weary. It's not time for excuses. It's time to get going by the grace of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the message. I pray, dear Lord, that it would be something that would spark a fire inside of these believers. Lord, You know, personally, I have nothing against them. And I try to excuse them where it's evident that they're falling by the wayside on certain things. And I do that because I love them. And more, maybe that love is more of a human love than a righteous love. Because the truth is, the actual righteous love was exhibited in this message. Open rebuke is better than secret love. And my tendency, Lord, in dealing with these folks is to esteem them better than myself, as the Scripture says I should. But maybe I do that to a fault. I know some pastors, Lord, they're harder on their people. They're hard. And they're strict. And those people follow because they're sheep. And Lord, I do have a respect for these people, each and every one of them. And I don't want to lord it over the brethren. I don't want to act like I'm King Kong and usurp some sort of authority over God's heritage that I don't have any business doing. I try to lead by example. There's not one of these ministries that I sit back and send somebody else to do. I do them. And if nobody else would do them, by the grace of God, I want to still do them. And Lord, I know these people love me. I know they love each other. I know they love you. But God, it'd sure make my job a whole lot easier if they join arm in arm and toe to toe and help hold the line just for a few short hours before the rapture of the church. That's all I'd ask. I'll forgive them everything else. I'll excuse them in every other situation. But Lord, the time is coming. The lion's den draws near. And we need to get ready. I pray that you'd bless your people. Give them the courage of their convictions. Not only to agree with it, but to act and obey upon what they know is right. And I ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Lord bless you. Thanks for coming this morning.